The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Mark chapter 8, verse 22. We left off at verse 21. Do you remember last week? He did this whole feeding of the people again. Can you imagine? Free food from Jesus. And we talked about how Jesus set them down and taught them first before he fed them physical food, he fed them spiritual food. And he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Who did he say that to? You remember? It was his boys, his disciples, his not B apostles, but A apostles. These guys were the, you know, the first apostolic prayer meeting, they fell asleep. Remember? Jesus was dealing with Satan and was praying to his father great drops of blood sweat, and they couldn't even stay awake to pray for him. And now these guys, he explains to them about the feeding of the 4,000 this time, and they just don't get it. They don't understand it. And now he gets up and he goes to Bethsaida, another town, verse 22, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town, verse 23. And when he had spit on his eye and put his hand on him, he asked him if he could see anything. Do you get the picture? Similar to what he did our last study, he used spit to heal someone. And he looked up and said, this is the man, I see men like trees walking. Verse 25. Then he put his hand on his eyes again, that'd be Jesus, and made him look up at the second time, and he was, restored and saw everyone clearly. And then, of course, he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Father, we ask God that you'd bless this to us. A short little story. That God, you can speak volumes to us this morning. So open our hearts up, God. Open our minds up. God, that we might receive your word to be more like you, Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. My title for this message this morning is simply Tree People. Are you tree people? Do you know tree people? I know a man here today that is this awesome taking trees down, and he's called the Tree Man. Yeah, if you need a tree taken down, right back there. The Tree Man. But do you know tree people? Anyone that's a tree person? Like this man, we were once blind spiritually, weren't we? All of us were. By who, you say? You might say, well, blinded by Satan. You know the drill. The god of this age. And as a result, we couldn't see anything spiritual. Oh, we might see things spiritual, but not Jesus spiritual, not biblically spiritual. You remember, right? In fact, church seemed weird to us. The Bible was incomprehensible. We just didn't get it. Nor did we even want to get it. Especially in my life when I was growing up and there was all those these and thous and huh? I thought I was reading some kind of a different language. but then God. You like that? I like that. But God. You got all this stuff up here. But God. You got all this, you know, the world and Satan and then two words. But God. That's how he is, isn't it? He's a master of the universe. He made it. He's always been. In our small, finite minds, we can't get that. I like what an evangelist once said. He said, I don't like things that in this word. Some things in this word bug me, but God said it. He's way above me. But God. And as a result, someone extended an invitation to us to come to Jesus, and a miracle was set in motion. Wow! Maybe not right then, but eventually. Or maybe right then. I know people just, they don't even know hardly who God is, and they come to a church service and it just, bam, and they practically run to the altar. And some people it takes a little bit longer. But the fuse has been lit. Some of us have short fuses, some of us have long fuses. But God sets it in motion. How sweet is that? Verse 23, we read it. It speaks of Jesus operating as he so often does in a very up close and personal way. Does he work with you guys in an up close and personal way? He does me. I was studying, putting some final things on the message last night, and I just broke down. He was speaking to me. He just was speaking to me. I'd sit there and I was wondering, you know, I was just, what are you doing, Lord? And I was just talking to him, and he was talking to me, and I was just, those are some sweet times, aren't they? Very sweet time. Oh, I know I've broke down in worship songs in the chapel before here and things of that sort. But man, oh man, when you're alone with him and it's one-on-one, isn't that great? It's just something about him. And he's such a good God. Just a wonderful, loving, good God. We need to understand that. He's for us. He loves us. We matter to him. We really matter to him. Well, as noted in our last study we saw, I believe one of the main reasons Jesus led the man out of town was to avoid the frenzy atmosphere of a healing. You know, that can get pretty crazy. Often associated with healing ministries. I've never seen a big scene, a big deal, a big rally, a big church service when Jesus healed. I go through here. I tried to find something. I couldn't find anything. In fact, folks, he told his people not to tell anyone. Shh, don't tell anyone. A far cry from today, amen? Yeah, someone gets healed, you got to put it on the TV. Yeah, far cry. That's why. Not to discount healing in any form or fashion, because it all comes from God, but it's just, wouldn't it be better if it's just God gets the glory, not man? Now, seeing as this is the second story / healing that Jesus used his spit to do the healing, I need to point out that in the Hebrew culture, could you imagine having a spit ministry? Everyone spitting on each other. I mean, look, my wife right now is looking at me going, ooh. Well, you know, the craziest things just happen in the church today, you know? But here, I have to understand the Hebrew culture, much of the ancient world at that time, spit was thought to contain medicinal value. And if you've ever seen maybe some old westerns, you've seen the proverbial Indian that You know, he's chewing tobacco, or he takes his spit and he puts it in a bullet wound and it heals. Now, I don't know how true that is, okay? I don't want to try it. But evidently, it has some healing. I know that this is a little bit gross, but when dogs, you know, lick your wounds, they seem to heal somewhat, from what I understand. Now, I can imagine the emails I'll get tomorrow from you nurses and doctors in the room today. But it seemed to have that kind of properties. And because of that, therefore, applying spit to this man's eyes, Jesus seems to be putting his seal of approval on the use of medical technology. You know he does. He gives the mindset and all that he does. You know, we wouldn't have penicillin if it wouldn't be for God. We wouldn't have anything. And when I pray for someone at the hospital, I pray that the medicines they're giving them is 100% of its capability. I've talked to doctors before and said, man, that medicine only is about 40%. Well, just think if it did the 100% of its capability. And that's all about God. You know that is. I believe it with all my heart. He has everything work according to his will. So you must be, he seems to be putting that upon that technology of any day, any given day, whether it be the New Testament days or 2017. There are some people that say that we shouldn't accept any kind of form of medicines or transfusions or anything of that sort. And I'm here to tell you today that you must have a death wish. Because God says that's okay. It's all right. He, in other words, he's the one who's developed those medicines. Amen? Do you agree with that? Amen? I completely agree with it. Gang, have you ever took time to just look? Maybe you prick your finger and blood comes out. And you just kind of look or cut your finger or something. And you gotta, and you know, in an hour or two, it's healed. It just kind of coagulates, right? And it heals. And you go, wow, I marvel at the ability of my body to seemingly heal itself. Can you imagine different things that go through our body, or colds and different things that you start to get a little sneezy or something, and all of a sudden your body kicks in, your immune system that God's given you kicks in and it heals itself. You ever thought about that? Isn't that amazing? I don't think of it often, but sometimes I do. I just think that's awesome, amazing how that works, the ability for our body to heal itself. Other times when I have a pounding headache, I down a couple Advil and voila, modern medicine. I'm good as long as I get up on it pretty quick. And you know that too. Any kind of an ache like that, hey, that's old people, right? We have a like yard day. We get up next morning, and we take a couple Advil, bam, we're back to normal, right? Ready to do some more. Still other times I'm hurting physically and a brother or two will lay hands on me and pray. And I marvel at the power of prayer. Just the other day, unbelievable, I was sitting in my office. I was feeling like junk. Now, you know, I don't know if you guys go through this, but sometimes you just don't feel good. You don't know what's wrong with you. You don't have anything really, really wrong with you, you know, that you know of. And you're just not feeling so good. And a brother prayed for me. And, you know, within an hour, I felt great. I really felt great. And we dismiss that many times, don't we? Oh, well, something kicked in. I had a glass of water. No. This man prayed for me, and I got healed. And he kind of had to, you know, grab me. Isn't that weird how we don't want people to pray for us sometimes? Finally, he just kind of grabbed me, you know, and he's bigger than me, and I just said, okay, pray for me, hurry up. You know, kind of a thing. And in an hour, I was feeling great, feeling very well. And so, what a great power of prayer. But check this out. It is not prayer that heals. It is not mentioned in the hills. It is not our own body processes that heals. It's only one thing that heals. It is only God who heals. Only God. And that's what our word says, and I believe it. And as God, he can utilize prayer, medicine, our natural body processes, or any combinations of the three to do the job. As long as it's his will. Amen? I didn't hear anybody say yes. Yeah, amen. Well, 24 tells us this. It says, and he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. So the Lord, you know, he does his thing and he says, hey, can you see anything? He says, I can see men like trees walking. Wow. My juices started chucking. I mean, I started thinking when I read this. I love this man's honesty with Jesus. We should have that much honesty, right? He saw the Lord, but he didn't yet have an ability to see people properly. Amen? Yeah. Oh, he saw the Lord, absolutely, but he didn't see the people. They were looking like trees. And bam, shakalaka, therein is our lesson today. You guys know that bam shakalaka is just stuck. Okay. It is our lesson. A life lesson says this. Gang, it plays out like this. When you and I were touched by the Lord and saved, our eyes were open to the Lord. Amen? Of course they were. Yes. And yet, even though we were now able to see him, please know this and please understand this, our healing was not complete until we could also see people clearly. You know what that means? See people clearly. Oh, we see the Lord, we're falling in love with the Lord. Oh, but people? Whoa. I remember I got saved. And as soon as I got saved, like a week later, I was still hating people. I was talking about them behind their back. I didn't see people clearly. It's so obvious, this lesson. Another life lesson is many of us have no problem loving God, but there are some people who seem like trees to us. Now, follow me here. We might use them to build our own kingdom. They stump us. Many times we wish they would just leave. We even try to cut them down many times. It might be a father that's ignored us for years and years. It might be a husband who divorced you. It might be a boss who fired you. It might be a friend who deserted you, used you for his own sake. You ever had one of those friends? We call those fair-weathered friends, don't we? Question, what did our Lord say when they asked him, Lord, what's the greatest commandment of all? You remember that, don't you? Matthew 22:35-40. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, he answered. And the second is likened unto it. Now, this is something that I learned. See, you think, oh, I've been teaching 20 years. I know it all. No, I don't. No one does. I had an elder once came to me and said, I know all about the Bible. I don't need to be taught anything more. You know what I did? I stepped back so the fire wouldn't get to me from heaven. Check this out. This is pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool. In the original language, which was Aramaic, that Jesus spoke, this is what he said. He said, literally, or in the original language, hey, there's a second part to this. Hold on. Isn't that cool? He does the first part, and then he goes, wait, there's more. There's much more to this. Just don't love me. But wait, there's something else. And then he says, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. See, the first part, people kind of got that. But then when he said, wait, there's another part to this, just as important. And he said, love others like you love yourself. People were like, what? Especially in that day and age, hasn't changed much. Love them like yourself. Love your neighbor like yourself. Again, so loving God and loving our neighbor are perfectly, intricately linked. You can't do one and not the other. You just can't. They're linked together. But there's a problem, Houston. Absolutely. How in this world are we to love those we see only as trees? Good question. Good question. And every one of us have these tree people in our lives. Don't tell me you don't, okay? Every one of you do. I do. Tree people. Well, the answer to that is read on. Verse 25 tells us, and he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. It wasn't until he looked up until he saw everyone clearly. Interesting. How about that? Gang, the fact that this man needed to be touched twice encourages me in my own areas of need. And you maybe as well. Be it with regard to physical healing, spiritual help, material possessions, provisions rather, different financial needs. You know, sometimes, church, we need to pray a second touch. Where we need a second touch. We need a third touch. We need a tenth touch. In fact, sometimes we must keep coming back to the Lord over and over and over again. Do you know that? There's a reason for that. I get it. I get it. Sometimes it's all consuming. All consuming. God, I'm back again. This thorn, this thing that's going on, whether it be emotional or physical or financial. Lord, what is up? When are you going to answer me? I get that. It can be all-consuming. As you know, before I had sugar diabetes, and I've had it for 45-plus years, and every time I go, and I've been a Christian for quite some time, 40 years, and been a pastor for 20-some, and you know, every time I went to a conference, I was up there to get oil on me. I bet there's been 55 gallons of oil poured on me. Yep. And when Marty pours it on you, forget it. It drips down your... yeah. But I'm still going to them. I'm still coming to them. Again and again. Emotional things. You know, emotional things are pretty weird too, because you think you got over it, and then bam, it's there again. Right? Amen? Ladies. Sometimes guys, we're so, you know, callous that we're not. But we do too. We have emotional things too. Emotional things and physical things and financial things again and again. As a result of the Lord's help and healing, we get relief. We get touched. But then the difficulty returns many times. Precious saints, we must seek Him again and again and again. Just the seeking does something. The seeking helps us to continue to seek again and again. Because we're communing. Continue communing with God until you're totally healed, or yes, even if that total healing won't take place until you get to heaven. And then you're totally healed, aren't you? Look, when I get to heaven, I won't have any diabetes. Nope. My hearing is about gone. When your granddaughter comes to you and says that she's saving all her chore money to buy me some hearing aids, you know it's about gone. Well, guess what? In heaven, my hearing's going to be perfect. She says, Poppy, I get so sick and tired of you saying, what? She tells me things that even my wife doesn't tell me. But yeah, that's the plan that he has for us. That's the drill that we need to do here on earth. That's what our Lord desires. For he is a compassionate God. Know that. That yearns for our inward, intimate communication and relationship and attention. You know, he's an attention getter. He wants our attention. Did you know that? And you go, well, what kind of God is he? Well, a God that loves us. He wants our attention. We're his kids. You got kids, you don't want their attention, you don't love them. He wants us to attention to him. In fact, our daddy, our Abba Father, would have us understand that he knows everything we go through. Every pain, every thought. He's personally engaged in every one of us. That's his children. Intimately. And we need to finally understand all that matters is that his love will never go away. It'll never fade. It just gets stronger every day. He's for us. Always. In short, we would finally understand and realize, if we would finally understand for good and finally and realize that all that matters is that, well, he matters and that we matter to him. I have a song keyed up that tells us more about this. You guys want to do that?
I've tasted hopelessness, I know what heartache is, but somehow through all of it, your love remains. I've lived through brokenness, feeling faceless, but I'm not anonymous, you know my name. Your word is a light unto my feet. My identity.
You're for me always. Can we sing that right now? Let's do that. Golly. Come on, guys. It's you're for me for always. Ready?
For me for always.
All right. Praise the Lord. Give yourself a hand. Look, sometimes I do stuff like that because those words. If we just, you know, walk around singing that song sometimes or just remembering those words. I tell you, the favorite lyrics there is when it says, he can make disasters. That's me. Disaster man right here, you know. Undo him. He can undo him. Man, it's awesome stuff. He loves it. He gets us. He puts up with us. According to verse 25, when did the man see not only Jesus, but also every man clearly? Answer, when Jesus lifted his head toward heaven in the posture of prayer. That's when it happened. And that's the key, gang. That's it. Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. Now look, I don't pray a whole lot for that dude in Korea, North Korea, with a weird haircut. Matter of fact, I kind of pray that someone take him somewhere and give him a spanking. Kind of thing. But here's the thing. This whole teaching from God. It's Matthew 5:44 when Jesus, you know, says, pray for your enemies. That enemies didn't necessarily mean in the original language Romans or even Nero. What it meant was, and in the context of your brothers and sisters, it meant those people that bug you. Do you have people in your family, your immediate family, your extended family, and your church family that bug you? Huh? Man, I got Uncle Joe. Whoa. Hey, strike that from the KC. He listens on the radio. No, seriously. We, the people who bug us, bother us, even hurt us. I've been hurt before with brothers and sisters. I know you guys have too. Those people that bug us, that hurt us. Even pray for those who despitefully use us in Matthew 5:44. Despitefully use us. Do you know what that means? I can't see how a Christian could despitefully use you, but I've met a few that said they were Christians. And their whole thing is to despitefully use you. Man, pray for those people. I have found personally that when I pray for people, it's a life lesson. Sometimes something begins to happen miraculously. It really does. My feelings toward them change. They really do. It might not happen immediately, but it does eventually. No longer can I hold a grudge against them. I start praying for them. And I'm telling you, at first it's like everything I got in my heart to do. It's like, no, Lord, do you know my heart? And I'm kind of honest with God. He goes, I don't like those people. They could just go to heaven right now. It'd be no problem. I'd even teach their funeral. But God, don't let me have a heart like that. And I just keep praying. And you know what? My heart softens. I fall in love with them even. The whole thing changes in my life. No longer can I hold grudges against them or anything else. No longer can I get upset with them. Gang, when I'm lifting my head toward the heavens and communing with the Father, it's impossible for me to be bitter to anyone. Something there happens. It just goes away. It's almost like a promise of God that happens. It's just a really neat thing. Please try it. It's awesome. And so pray for the people who bug you. While they might not change, check this out. Our Lord promises you definitely will. And that's what, come on, Lord. They didn't change, but I'm changing. I don't want to change. I don't want to love them. I want to hate them. I like to hold on to my precious. You know what I mean, too, don't you? Yeah. Then you go, I can't wait to see him this Christmas. And you walk in there and go, oh, I love him. You know, you pray for him. You hug him. They do something stupid, say something stupid, and you just go, oh boy, here we go again. Got to pray some more. And that's the way it happens. My final point, verse 26, is in the form of a question. Will we be able to love people perfectly here on earth? No. A resounding no. No way. Because though we are to look up in heaven, it is not until we are called up to heaven. In the moment of the rapture. The moment of the rapture. That will be awesome. Then and only then, we will see perfectly the things that presently confuse and perplex us. 1 Corinthians, I love this, what Paul says. He says, you know, we will see him as he is. We'll really understand Christ, the whole monty of Christ, the Godhead. Wow. We better have different bodies because these bodies won't be able to take it. We'll just explode into millions of pieces. And we also will understand all things and be like Christ, have compassion for all people, understand how much God really loves us to the fullest. And at that time, what a day that will be, amen? What a day that will be. 1, 2, 3, Maranatha. 1, 2, 3. Father, thank you for this lesson.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.